Anime Death Spiral, the only indie anime podcast that has never sold out to big anime.
And we never will.
Despite constantly trying, despite desperately trying to.
Yeah, hey, big anime, if you're listening, we're never going to sell out. It doesn't matter how many dump trucks of money you pull up to my house, which, by the way, would not take that many, but don't you do it. Don't you even think about doing it.
I would like to see the number. That's all I'm saying. I would like, we've never sold out. We haven't sold out, obviously. We're totally independently run media.
Yeah, 100%.
We speak only the truth because we have no corporate sponsors. And I would never sell it, but I do want to see the number, you know?
I would like to see the number just so I could laugh in their faces about it.
Hey, okay, so I'm curious, okay?
Yeah.
Does that mean I sold out? No. I just want to know.
Listen, it doesn't matter that I can barely afford to put food on the table. I have people that I support. It doesn't matter because we're never going to give up this independent spirit. That's what we are all about here.
No,
on Anime
we couldn't.
Death Spiral.
We can't. We literally can't.
We can't afford to.
I'm just saying, I've I'm not going to name other shows because that's rude, but I'm looking at these numbers. I'm not telling tales out of school, but, you know, we're talking seven digits here.
Wait.
And, I wouldn't take that deal, but
Wait, hold on, I wouldn't take it. The numbers go up that high?
They go up to eight digits.
Oh.
I don't want to talk about any other podcasts, obviously, but you know, there's a couple that are associated with a particular streaming site, and let's just say there's a lot of digits involved.
Oh, okay. Well, no. I'm getting distracted here. Never gonna sell out.
But that particular streaming site, I would never sell out to.
Yeah, no.
I mean, no, I wouldn't sell out to any of them, but that particular one could send me an email with a number, and I would open the email to see the not just to
yeah,
see the not because I'm curious.
And,
that's all I'm
you know,
saying.
It would be unprofessional not to at least give them a reply with a firm no. Obviously, but like,
we are esteemed members of the anime community, the American anime community. You know, we do have to keep up appearances despite our independent nature. There are things that you're obligated to do when you're members of the community.
We have a fan base that we have to think about. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sure, they're not as big as corporate media.
Listen, we're not pulling in Mother's Basement numbers over here. We're not pulling in Giguk numbers over here.
No, and nor should we.
Yeah.
Because that would be selling out to have a large audience. That actually is selling out. We're talking seven digits here.
Okay. Wait, what? Hold on. Wait. He did? And he's getting the credit. This year? I just received some news that maybe we should just get in to our first segment here about the new announcements for Anime Expo 2025.
Anime Expo 2025 brought to you by the only independent anime podcast guaranteed spin-free zone, entering the no-spin zone. We've got hot hits from across Anime Expo 2025. All the biggest news that you anime fans need to know.
Yeah.
Number one.
But he's a YouTuber. He's a YouTuber, and they're letting him. God. Okay. All right. Sorry.
All right. Calm down. I'm going to pitch you some of these news sits. You give me a little highlight clip. I'm going to throw it on you.
All right.
Give me a hit. We need the sound bite. Okay. You ready?
Yeah, all right. Okay, new stuff coming out 2025 from Anime Expo.
I'm going to throw you the first one. You ready?
Okay,
so Paru Itagaki, the Beastars guy, his new anime is coming out soon. And of course, we've talked about it on this show. It is called Sanda. Do you remember talking about Sanda?
Sanda, the lycanthrope Santa Christmas anime.
Yes. Yes, exactly. The Killer Santa evolved by Moonlight.
Killer Santa who may or may not be a werewolf. Yeah, sure.
You excited for this?
I am excited. You know, I do love Christmas. Good. I do love a Santa. As you know, I'm in favor of all types of Santas. Surfing Santas, singing Santas, fat Santas, skinny Santas, jolly, angry.
Sure.
All over the place. I am a Santa connoisseur. I have never seen a werewolf Santa before.
Yeah, you have.
I have?
No, we've seen it. Are you kidding me?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, Tim Allen was a werewolf Santa in the Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S.
Yeah, he was a were Santa.
See, it's funny you went for the Santa Claus reference. I thought you were going to go to that Shudder creep show Christmas special that they did, which I'm just remembering now, was about werewolf Santas.
Oh yeah. No, I was not going for that. No. Yeah, I'm very excited for this. I'm very excited. I think werewolf Santa battle manga is obviously incredibly fertile ground for an anime in 2025. Okay, moving on. Do you know Gen Urobuchi? We've mentioned him a lot on this show.
Oh, I don't listen to this show.
Hasn't sunk in. Well, we mentioned a few of his projects in the show many times. You know, I'm talking, of course, Pueli, Magi, Madoka Magica. We talked about Psychopass, obviously, last season. We've talked a lot about Fate Zero, the only good Fate project. And, of course, the visual novel he wrote, Saya no Uta, which is, of course, one of the most despicable things I've particularly read.
Yes. Of course, I remember Gen Urobuchi.
Yes, yes. He has been given a 15th chance, so basically the Mel Gibson of anime.
He can't keep getting away from it.
He will. He keeps getting away with it. And he's putting out an anime movie called Eisenflügel, that weird German thing rearing its ugly head again.
I think that I'm getting a little bit towards the end of my rope with anime using weird broken German in their titles. It's just rubbing me a little bit wrong. I don't know why. I can't quite vocalize the feeling that it's giving me right now, but it makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Is it possible it's related to the, you know, Axis Powers thing?
It could
be
that.
Do you think that might have anything to do with it?
You know, I'd never considered that. Were they on the same side during the war?
You know what? It turns out, yeah, you know, if you think about it, if them and Germany and Italy kind of all pretty chummy at the time.
You know,
I don't want to, you know, dredge up old history, but might have something to do with it.
Let's
just
say Japan ran a hell of a PR game after the war.
Yeah, then, you know, there's some kind of World War II imagery in that too as well. I don't know. Okay, but let's move on from that before we think about it for even 1 second. There's a couple of new season announcements, nothing mind-blowing. Frieren is finally coming back. They're wrapping up that fucking Bleach Thousand-Year Blood War, whatever the fuck that is. I'm blissfully ignorant of that entire arc.
What's funny is that Thousand-Year Blood War, they're like four movies in, and that arc in the manga, from what I understand, is nowhere near the end. I don't think we're ever going to see an end of Bleach, like, to be honest.
It's still going? This is one of those, dies with them kind of thing.
Oh, no, Bleach ended, but the anime lives on.
Well, speaking of living on, they announced, I think, maybe just the cast of JoJo Part 7 Steel Ball Run, which
Hell
is
yeah,
pretty
baby.
Cool. Pretty cool. That's actually fucking cool. There's the horrible Reincarnated as a Sword Season 2. really, really unfortunate. Cyberpunk is coming back.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Cyberpunk, that was the big one for me. I was not expecting a season 2 out of Cyberpunk.
I wasn't, and I have mixed feelings. I'm not sure I want a season 2, to be honest.
It seems like their intention is to go, you know, very separate from the first season. As far as I can tell, they're doing a whole new story, new characters. They announce the teaser trailer with the words, "David is dead. He's not coming back."
I found that to be conspicuous in a way that maybe rubbed me a little bit wrong. You know, when you dunk so fucking hard, you should just get out. That's just how I think about this stuff, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
No encores.
No, drop the mic and let it stand. It speaks for itself.
Let it speak for itself. But I don't know. I'm sure the animation will be great, so I'll watch it anyway. Speaking of the animation, Ragnarok Season 3 inexplicably coming back because people fucking hated the way that that was animated the last two seasons. I love the manga personally, but it is true. They really dropped the ball.
It happens
on that anime
quite often.
Yeah. They announced a Black Torch animation, which is bizarre because I'm pretty sure the manga got canceled after like seven chapters. Truly baffling. It's also like the most generic shonen you could possibly imagine as well.
Sure.
You know, kid finds out he's a magical ninja, joins magical ninja FBI, fights magical ninja enemy ghosts, I think. It's been a while since I read it.
Ghosts?
I don't know. Here's a much more exciting one. The new reboot of Fist of the North Star has dropped a trailer.
Hell yeah.
Very interested in that. Fist of the North Star, fuck yeah. Hell
I want to see some heads explode. I want them to get
hell
gooey up in there.
Fucking yes.
100%.
And this is good for my friends who refuse to watch old anime.
Which is insane to me. I don't get it. I think Fist of the North Star, even for how old it looks, I think it's still great. It's nothing else, nothing besides like JoJo, I guess, has that like same feel, except JoJo goes colorful with it. You know, they're flamboyant.
Okay.
They're not doing the post-apocalyptic thing.
Yeah. And in tandem with the Fist of the North Star, the Fist of the North Star parody Rooster Fighter, which is Fist of the North Star, but chickens.
Yeah, which is great.
Also got an anime announcement, which I'm very excited about because unlike Nyad of the Living Cat, which we will get to, Rooster Fighter is actually good and funny. I like it a lot.
See, I've actually been anticipating Rooster Fighter for a while. I thought that anime was already out because the very first trailer dropped like a year ago.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I missed that trailer, but they have a new trailer. There is a new trailer out.
Okay.
And a release date, which is spring 26.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. ReZero is unfortunately coming back for a season 4, and this time the key art that they released features sandworms.
Great.
Muad'Dib.
Hey.
Little Muad'Dib means desert mouse.
Hey, you gotta walk without rhythm. You gotta walk without rhythm if you don't want to attract the worm.
Should be pretty easy for Subaru because nobody has ever been less funky in their life.
Dude has no chill.
The show I truly despise from a couple of seasons ago, Classroom of the Elite, is unfortunately coming back. I fucking hate that show.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, truly despicable.
Same with Mushoku Tensei.
Yes, exactly. In stark contrast, Demons of the Shadow Realm have been rushing to get this fucking anime announced. Yomi no Tsugai, which is fucking great. Hiromu Arakawa's newest manga.
Hell yeah.
Very good.
That's my girl.
They've already got a fucking anime coming out the door, which is insane. I mean, the manga is not that far along.
Well, you have to remember the first time they adapted Full Metal Alchemist, the manga only had 3 volumes out. They had to make up half of the entire story because it wasn't written yet.
I know. I'm interested to see how this will play out. Maybe they'll just really take their time with it. You and I are polar opposites, which I could have sworn there was an anime out already, but apparently not. That got an announcement trailer.
I'm excited for that. Obviously, we've talked about it before, but the Ghost in the Shell Science Saru anime.
Yep.
New trailer for Chainsaw Man Reze movie we talked about last time.
Blade and Bastard got an announcement. This is interesting because this is a manga that I started reading a little while ago. Not sure I like it. It's very isekai coded. It is not an actual isekai, but it is definitely isekai coded. It could definitely be worse, though. I'm not insanely offended by that or anything. I'm more interested in the Jujutsu Kaisen panel, which they have finally officially announced that they are going to. They have begun doing the Culling Game arc.
Well, it's been about 2 years since the last season, and
we came off that last season so hot.
Shinjuku arc it ruled, very fun, a lot of cool stuff in the manga that I liked. I dropped the manga as soon as I got to the Culling Game because I thought it was boring and stupid.
Well, I'm here to tell you that the Culling Game was actually just the lead up to the finale. It turned out it was just the final part of the manga. it was not actually an arc itself. It was just a prelude to the last chapter, which is truly a bizarre thing to do.
Very
but
weird.
I am excited. I'm excited to see how they redo the last chapter.
Hey, let's fix this. People hated that.
I'm very interested to see how they're going to attempt to do that. I'm very interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the rest of it is pretty much bullshit, so...
I don't know. There's a couple things on here that I know nothing about, but the teaser images.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know what Killtube is about, but I like the poster.
It's YouTubes.
Yeah?
It's YouTubes.
It's fighting YouTubes?
It's YouTubers.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, there's more stuff. It's more complicated than that, but it's YouTube.
And something anime adaptation for something called The Vermilion Mask.
Yes, I don't know anything about The Vermilion Mask, so I laid off a little bit, but maybe I'll check that out.
I don't know. The trailer looks cool.
Cool thumbnail.
Yeah, cool thumbnail, cool trailer, but know nothing about it. I like a mask. I like a good mask.
You like a mask. You like a hockey mask.
That's my thing. Yeah, that's my thing. I like a good mask. Jason, great mask. V for Vendetta, love that guy's mask.
I don't know if I like that mask so much.
Not well,
it's
you know.
It's got a mustache on it.
It has some weird connotations in this day and age, but yeah, it went hard in the 80s.
Obviously, we've talked a lot about Dorohedoro, but of course the only reason you did like it was because of the masks.
Literally the only reason. Luckily, every character had one, so that kind of made it very tolerable.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I love that part.
Love a good mask. So, looking forward to the Vermilion type. The vanilla mask. Yeah, that's it.
All right, enough of that. Enough of that.
Enough of it.
None of that
matters. Let's not get bogged down in the future. Let us focus on the present.
We need to go hard on the present, or we will never catch up, and we will end up in the past before we make it to the future. So let's focus up, people.
Now, speaking of a good mask, we're going to start off with something that we both watched here that I was not expecting to, but really, really, really liked.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to be like, yeah, well, duh. I've been telling you to read that forever. But Gachi Akuta.
Duh. And I have been telling you to read that forever.
I watched the first episode of Gachi Akuta over the weekend, and boy, what a banger to start off with, right?
I've been saying everybody needs to read the shonen about the guy who lives in the dump, and now you know, living in the dump, pretty cool.
You know, I watched the first episode, and I immediately went out my front door, got in my car, and went to my local dump, and just kind of like... found a good pile to roll around in, you know, just to get in the into the mindset. It works, you know, therapeutic. I feel this weight lifted off my soul.
Yeah.
Garbage is cool, guys.
It is cool. And, you know, you can convince yourself you're fighting climate change.
Yeah, or something. I don't know.
By being friends with the garbage. That's how it works.
All right. What did you think of the first episode of Gachi Akuta? Because you've been reading this for a while.
I think they did a fairly good job. You can occasionally see Kei Urano's work like poking out. There are every time they do a close-up shot of somebody's face, you can definitely see the Urano leaking out there, which is really great.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've talked a million times about how there is a anime kind of template look that animators fall back onto. Streamline the process, which is just, I've made my peace with that. I know that you cannot recreate Kei Urano's artwork like in motion perfectly, but I think there were enough moments where they really tried that I very much appreciated, especially in the, there's a moment where it goes full sketch, which is a great effect.
Yes.
And it's very true to the manga's look, which I was very happy about. I was surprised that they didn't go a little further, because I kind of felt like, well, you could establish the premise a little bit harder than they did, but I think there is enough there that if anybody watched it, they'd be like, oh, okay, so I see where we're going, which is good.
Well, I've still only watched the first episode. It's my understanding that the first two episodes premiered at Anime Expo, so maybe the second one has a little bit more of a hook, but you know, I think what they wanted to do was leave it on very much like a cliffhanger of having you wonder, like, oh, I thought that the whole setup was this, but actually we're doing something much different.
But actually the state executed a child.
Yeah, well.
Publicly.
Hey, that is not the most surprising thing in an anime that I've seen. lots of kids get fucked up by the state in anime. In fact, I would say anime, for the most part, loves killing children. I'm not going to back up that statement, no.
It's true. It's true. It's just, you know, usually it doesn't do it so blatantly, like literally public execution style, but I think it is a hell of a way to start your show. Public yeah. executing the main character who is a child.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
You know, I was, again, knowing very little about the overall setting of Gachi Yakuta going in. It was presented to me as like, okay, we kind of have this dichotomy of the haves and have-nots. You have the fancy people living in the clean city, and then all of the garbage dirt people that live on the other side of the wall.
In the favelas, yes. Yes.
Well, yeah, in the favelas. And then they have a giant pit to Australia that they throw garbage in. Including people are garbage is garbage. Yep. Everything
people fall
the
into
show
the dump.
Makes it very clear. It like, literally the first thing that they tell the audience is that everything becomes garbage at some point, even people.
It's true.
So, you know, you have your main guy Rudo, and he's a little garbage kid, and he likes breaking into the clean city to steal their garbage and turn it into not garbage.
Recycling.
Yeah.
Reuse, reduce, recycle.
He's more of a reseller than anything, you know. I don't think that he's doing this altruistically for the benefit
Hold on a second. Reseller is already a thing, and that is not recycling. That is buying shoes and then putting them on eBay.
Yeah, you know, he's a scalper, basically. That's what he is.
He's
breaking into the clean city and stealing all of their Pokemon cards and Labubu dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's bringing them back over to the garbage people and be like, hey, check it out. Check what they got in the clean part of the city. And they're like, yeah.
You think they would like him more, but they don't. They don't really like him and his vibe.
No, they don't like him because, again, anime is very, very into the whole genetic determinism thing. And unfortunately, his dad was a murder man. He did murder people, allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
And his dad also got thrown into the Australia pit at some point. And everyone's like, hey, that kid, you know, his dad was Australian, so he's going to be Australian too. That's just how these things work. You better watch yourself around him.
Don't make a friend with him because he will be hucked into the pit.
Which is funny because it's the other garbage people that are saying that to him, not like the clean city people that you would expect.
Oh, yeah.
It's the other like favela people that are like, hey, don't mess with that guy. His dad's a murderer. And I was like, shouldn't you have more murderers if you're all living in horrible garbage shacks?
Okay, whoa, all right. Well, okay, exposing a little your bias.
Okay, no, I'm not. Listen.
Come on, man.
Listen.
You can't blame the crabs for being in the bucket. Come on,
no,
man.
No, I'm blaming the bucket. They are products of the environment they live in. Yes, ultimately the blame lies with the hoity-toity city people, but you know, it is science that if you live in a hard place, you're going to have hard times. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
And that makes great men?
Yeah, well, it makes people that get thrown into the garbage pit men.
All right. Okay, this is an episode one thing I'm interested here. Since I've read it, I want to ask you predictions for the rest of the season. What do you think? Throw out a couple. At least one. Give me a prediction.
All right. My prediction is, and spoilers for end of episode one, I guess, for anybody listening, the episode ends with him getting thrown into the garbage pit, which basically goes to a garbage dimension, which I am referring to here on forth as Australia. So he wakes up in Australia. There's garbage everywhere. And he's like, what the fuck? I didn't know the hole was this big. And then a giant garbage kaiju comes out of the garbage pit and starts chasing him. I think that at some point he is going to either learn how to control or maybe pilot the giant garbage monster. Other predictions. Okay. He's going to have garbage powers of some kind. I think maybe he's got fucked up hands. Maybe he's going to have...
Well, he's a dumpling.
He's a dumpling now. and so I think that maybe he's going to have some kind of power to turn his hands into garbage weapons. I don't know.
his hands are going to turn into garbage.
Yeah,
his Snickers hands. Wrappers.
Well, he's already got garbage hands. He keeps them, like, wrapped up in bandages, and he has these big work gloves.
It's true.
Which,
he
like...
very cool gloves.
People make fun of him for. They say he has dirty gloves, but, like, the city people say that everybody on their side of the wall has dirty everything. So,
yeah.
Again, I don't know what the levels are here. Like, what's the threshold for being, like, a super garbage person versus a regular garbage person? I don't know. I just think that at some point he's going to have the power to touch garbage, and it's going to turn into some kind of weapon that he can use. That's my big prediction.
Okay, okay, cool,
yeah.
cool. I cannot confirm or deny.
All right. I'm going to keep that one on the back burner. All right.
I don't think it's ruining anything or preempting anything if we just say, yes, Gachiakuta, as we predicted, is the front runner here.
Hell yeah. All right. Can I slip in with the next one here? Because I do not have much to say about it. I watched the first two episodes of Chuhai Lips, which we joked about last time being like the drunk MILF anime. And it turns out that that's not actually what it is, kind of. It is, first of all, it's just porn. Like, it's full-on porn. Like, full-on penetration porn. It's hentai.
I did not realize that. Huh.
Yeah, I did not realize that either, especially since they are putting it up on, like, the non-hentai websites, like Crunchyroll. And shit.
Yeah.
Also, the episode's kind of like Chubby Elf and Yandere Elf.
Uh-huh.
A lot of elf porn coming out in the last couple of years, I'm just realizing. Anyway, they're like 4 or 5 minute long episodes, and this is about a loser who does nothing but stay in his apartment and drink like Chuhai. And
yeah.
And he has sex with married women. Like, that's the plot of the anime.
Multiple also, married women?
Yeah, no.
That's his thing?
That's his thing. Is
wow.
Each episode, he becomes a different homewrecker. Also, he fucks his aunt in the first episode. So I think that kind of tells you everything you need to know. That unlike Gachiakuta, which is about garbage people, this is just garbage. It's garbage. Don't watch it. It's weird. It made me feel bad that I watched it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was Chuhai Lips. Great what they're putting out these days. We've come so far.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, moving on. Let's go to one that really surprised me. How about that?
Okay. All right.
Night of the Living Cat.
Okay. Now, you say it surprised you.
Yeah, it did surprise me.
It surprised me as well, but I want to know how it surprised you.
Obviously, I knew about the manga for a while now, so I was not particularly surprised by the content. What really surprised me, obviously, first off, that the Takashi Miike link surprised me initially.
Still weird. Yeah, still weird.
Yes, but not still weird. It became much weirder when I actually saw the show and tried to piece together which parts were the Takashi Miike parts, because I have no fucking clue where his input is supposed to be.
Yeah, we're basically on the same page on this. I watched the first episode and I was trying to figure out like what his influences were going to be. Obviously, you've seen a lot more Takashi Miike films than I have, but we've both seen his work, you know.
Or half of his work.
Yeah, half of his work. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting this to, I don't know, go harder, I guess. Be more visually provocative, I guess, maybe is a word. I don't want to say gore, because I wasn't expecting, like, gore, knowing what I know about the plot of the manga. But this just seemed like an anime to me, and not like a particularly like authorial voice forward one, you know. It just seemed like a normal ass anime. Do you follow me?
Yes. I, you know, there is one part that took me by surprise in a much more minor way, I guess, and maybe is a real mixed bag in that I thought the initial joke got me, right? I kind of knew it would, because I do think it is funny.
There's a cat virus, and if you cuddle with the cats, you turn into a cat. Yeah, that's funny.
No, not necessarily that part. That they can't fight back against the cats because the cats are too cute and they love cats too much.
That is really
the main joke of the show. My confusion is that is the only joke of the show.
Yeah, no, that's so basically where it stops.
How do they make more episodes of Nyat Nyat of the Living Cat? Are they even necessary? I would say no.
Yeah, you know, I was about to say something, and then your question there kind of tripped me up. I'm like, is it necessary? I have to agree. I don't think it is, because, okay, actually, no, there are two jokes. There are two jokes in the anime. The most forward one is, yes, they can't fight the cats because they all work at a cat cafe and they're all cat enthusiasts and they think they're too cute, right?
Yes.
The second joke, which I'm, again, not sure if this is an episode one thing only, if they're going to be doing like a flashback, flash forward format like they did, pre-catdemic and post-catdemic.
Yes.
And, you know, the joke that I liked pre-catdemic is that the cat cafe that they work at is like almost exclusively frequented by like
JoJo
tough
characters?
JoJo characters.
Yeah,
like
that
big muscle bound bro dudes.
I didn't even read that as a joke because I was so taken aback by everyone besides the schoolgirl being JoJo characters.
Now, I have not read the manga. I know enough about the plot, you know, to go into the anime. Did you read any of the manga, or did you just read about it?
No, I did not read the manga, even though I thought them being cats softened it a little bit. My policy about zombies is pretty clear.
Yeah, they're a little bombed out and dusty at this point.
Not interested.
Yeah. So
go back and listen to the episode about the previous zombie hit, my Zom 100 for our zombie opinions.
To be fair, I think that I liked this like conceptually more than I like Zom 100.
Oh, definitely. But that's because I hate zombies.
And I hate wage slaves.
And I hate cats.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll give you one prediction on this show, and mm-hmm. this was kind of the one we were all screaming at the TV. The main character who is not the schoolgirl is the original cat that originated the virus that turned back into a human. I think
interesting.
That is 100% the twist of this show.
Interesting. Okay, I was going to say... See, my mind was going that he was the guy who developed the original cat, you know, the scientist that created it, because they mentioned that the cat virus came about as the end result of a cat eugenics program to make cats more cute.
Yes.
And somehow that resulted in a virus that turns people into cats. I was assuming that he was going to be the researcher that created the virus, but him being the original cat that somehow got reverse like cuddle bitten into turning into a human.
Yes.
That is actually more interesting overall.
I think that's it. I very strongly feel like that is probably going to be the twist that we find out at the end of season one, when he actually does get touched by a cat and does not turn.
Yeah.
I think that's probably
in fact the fact that he's carrying around that little bell, the, you know, the cat collar bell,
yes,
when we first see are introduced to him as an amnesiac, you know, running through an alley falling down.
Yep.
Now that you say that, I am 100% sure that is what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I feel pretty strongly about this one.
Yeah.
Okay, what a weird thing.
I know.
Tell me about See You Tomorrow at the Food Court.
So this is another manga that I picked up randomly, only to discover that it was having an anime adaptation coming out in like 3 weeks. It's happened to me like twice before. So I won't, you know, tarry too long on this, but I like it. I think it's a great adaptation of the manga. The manga is very funny. This is basically... this is like the Bechdel test, the anime. Because it is about...
You mean the Bechdel test.
Bechdel test. Sorry, I've only ever read it in my head. See, I don't talk to women.
Yeah. No one's ever said it out loud around me.
It is about two girls who are just pals, gals, being pals, hanging out, talking about literally anything but boys, which always appreciated. I think that's fun.
Sure.
What I find interesting most about the anime adaptation is the way they decided to approach, for lack of a better word, shooting the scenes, because the manga is basically a gag manga that takes place from one perspective. It's the girls sitting at a table in a food court, always from a front forward perspective, them on the opposite side of the table, and they're just talking to each other. And obviously, if you're animating that, it's going to be very boring visually if you don't move the camera around at all, metaphorical camera. And so they're doing like a lot of weird Dutch angles and like high down angles, and just kind of doing anything they can to make these two characters that just sit at a table and talk to each other like more interesting to look at. And what that kind of manifests as is a lot of cutaway visual gags to like movie posters, shops, like other people in the food court doing weird stuff while they talk, like, you know, over the camera. Which is fun, you
so
know.
So you're saying they're shooting this like My Dinner with Andre?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. In fact, I think that it would not surprise me to hear that they took direct like inspiration from that movie and other stuff like it.
Wow.
I will say, best anime adaptation of a Freddy Krueger that I've seen so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Freddy's in it. Freddy is in it.
They got Freddy?
They got Freddy, baby. Freddy is in it.
They paid out the big money?
Yeah.
Damn.
Uh-huh. You know, there's a gag where one of the girls buys what she does not realize is a Freddy Krueger sweater and is disappointed with how ugly it looks on her. And so the other one's like, yeah, give me that. I love Freddy. Nightmare's awesome. Hell yeah.
Wow.
Funny timing, you know, good sense of timing for the jokes. They basically play out the way I read them in my head when I was reading the manga, which is something that I mentioned when I talked about the manga, is that it has good, like, joke structure set up and payoff and, like, you know, a good flow of narrative in all of these rambling conversations. So yeah, check it out. I really like it. This is my number two for the season, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm glad we picked it for our fantasy league.
I know, right?
How's the animation in general? I mean, what are we looking kind of mids, or do they really pick it up?
No, for two girls that just sit at a table and talk to each other, they go extra.
They go
on
the anime.
Yeah, they go hard. They one of the characters is very into gacha games. She has this like Prince gacha game that she's super into, and they kind of, whenever she pulls, you know, a character, they kind of do this very overly extra light explosion, like fireworks thing, like sparks and rays coming out of her phone, like a Sailor Moon transformation.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think that the animators are really just looking for anything that they can latch onto. Like, okay, we got to animate that. We got to animate that. We got to do this because, again, two people sitting at a table should not be visually interesting as this turned out to be. So I like it. Check it out.
I mean, the whole thing really reminds me again of like, I haven't gotten to City the Animation yet, but I've already heard that the animation is really great. But it also like Asobase, which I will continue talking about forever because I really liked it.
Mm-hmm,
Is, you know, three girls a lot of the time just like playing board games or like word games, sometimes like stupid word association games.
Yeah.
And it is like, if you did not like the aesthetic, I could see you immediately calling it over animated, but I think it is actually the perfect amount because it just goes insanely hard with the amount of camera movement and like overly expressive faces and body movements and how intense they make every scene. I just like, it's really, really good and incredibly clever.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend to anybody who's interested in the concept, just go watch the opening animation where it's these two characters doing a series of incredibly over animated, like stupid TikTok dances, but it's very tongue in cheek and funny. And,
yeah,
you know, again, I just like it when two characters can just be like incredibly natural and easy to like, it's easy to understand their friendship and what they like in each other. Yeah. I like seeing people being friends, you know.
American TV could never. We do not have the fucking bravery over here. Netflix does not have the bravery to make a show where it's just two characters talking to each other.
Oh man, I would love to see the the Bet style high budget live action adaptation of this. That would be great.
Oh, just stretch it out to like 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
And that's the other thing, that from what I understand, this one is only going to be a 6-episode season, which actually makes sense to me because the comic chapters are so short and there's only like 25 of them out right now. They are covering like 4 chapters of the manga per episode.
Cool.
And they're already going to run out by the end of episode 6.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love what I would call quick bites.
I would call it low commitment.
Interesting.
Which is what I'm all about. Okay. What else we got here? Because that basically covers up everything that I've watched from the new premieres so far this season.
All right. Well, then I've got one final one. I watched Clevetess.
Cleavages?
Clevetess, which they did not include the subtitle, I guess just to confuse people. I don't know. Because the subtitle is like Clevetess, the King of Magical Beasts.
Okay. So like Aslan?
Yeah.
Is this a Jesus metaphor?
Like Dark Aslan. Yeah.
Dark Aslan. Okay, now we're talking here.
It really is Dark Aslan.
This one's for the edgelords.
I would say it's not even very edgelordy. I mean, it definitely... Oh, it, I would not blame you if you thought it was edgelordy from the first 20 minutes or so.
Uh-huh.
Because they rearrange the first couple chapters of the manga to make it... To very specifically make it edgelordy, which I think was a mistake. Because that tone immediately clashes with the actual tone of what the manga is about. Because they do the bait and switch, which I'm not against at all personally. I tend to like this when it shows up in anime, and it showed up quite a lot. There's no end of examples, but we are introduced to a party of heroes who go off to fight the titular Clevetess, King of Magical Beasts.
Yeah, he's like the demon lord, kind
of. Well, he's one of the four. Maybe they're all demon beasts. I'm not sure. But there are four of these creatures that guard the cardinal points of this world.
Sure.
Stopping all of humanoid civilization from expanding outside of this one continent, which is a fun setup. And the heroes of the southern kingdom have constantly been trying to kill off their southern dark beast, Clevetess. And they are the only kingdom that can actually forge magical weaponry that it takes to kill one of these things. And after decades and decades of trying, maybe hundreds of years of trying, they decide, for some reason they had never thought of this before, but they try to send a bunch of heroes at the same time, you know, to gang up on Clevetess for the first time ever.
Hey, why do we keep only sending one at a time?
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem a little inefficient to you?
Yeah. It's like, what? Why is this? Okay, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, the heroes get a big grand introduction. And in fact, our main character even gets the flashback, like, opening of the show. And we see them in action. They slay a big pack of evil creatures that in a pretty cool sequence that was very reminiscent of like kind of like 80s dark fantasy manga, which is pretty cool. Like there's definitely like somebody watched the first Vampire Hunter D movie preparing for this sequence, you know?
Hell yeah.
Which is cool. Demon City Shinjuku shit happening. Not quite as good as that. I would say they could have pushed themselves a little harder, but there is some cool stuff in there. And then the party reaches Clevites, and Clevites is like, are you fucking for real right now? More of you? Are you fucking kidding me? You're still trying this. It's been like hundreds of years and you're still trying to kill me. Okay, I'm getting pissed off. Goodbye. And then just brutally eviscerates every single one of these guys, which is entertaining.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I like it. Cause fuck them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't fuck with someone who's just trying to chill like that. You know, what's he doing? You know?
Yeah. Just guarding one of the cardinal points.
Yeah.
Kind of not the anime's fault, but there was a weird thing where once this fight sequence happens, they didn't bother to translate that part of the anime. So that is the only part of the anime where none of the conversations were legible to us. Luckily, I'm pretty sure the conversations were just, I'm about to kill you. And then the heroes go, no, we're about to kill you because we're strong. And he goes like, no, that's definitely not happening here. I'm going to rip you limb from limb. And Clevites does it. Another thing, since you mentioned he, there was a weird thing where Clevites does seem to be an explicitly gendered as a he in this version, whereas the manga, they were non-gendered or sometimes gendered in a more feminine way. So mm-hmm. that was like a weird choice for the anime to go with. I guess I understand, but it does make other parts of it immediately awkward. For example, after the heroes fail incredibly hard, like not even close, you guys, not even close. Literally one hit connects and it's like not even a good one. Barely scrapes Clevites's horn and then death, immediately death. All of them dead. Mm-hmm, Clevites mm-hmm. gets pissed off and is like,
bunch
okay,
of
fucking, yeah, like fucking eight of these guys? Are you fucking kidding me? Okay, that's it. And leaps in a single bound to the capital of the kingdom and hunts down the king and cuts his fucking head off. Just sliced. Just immediately sliced. And then kind of rampages around going like, you know what? Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. I cannot believe this. You humans are just constantly pissing me off. Like every couple of years, you're sending guys to fucking kill me. Why should I fucking bother with this? Like, I'm just going to kill all of you. Fuck you guys. Except... there's a baby.
There's always a baby.
There's a baby. And okay. a dying servant is like, please, just check out the vibes on this baby. Just vibe check the baby. I'm dying. You killed everyone else, but you could vibe check
usually,
the baby.
Usually I don't get along with babies, but me and this baby, we're connecting. We're vibing here. We've got a thing going on.
And Clevites is like, yeah, I'll vibe with the baby. You know mm-hmm. what? I'll raise the baby and then I'll vibe check the baby to see if humanity's worth keeping around. Because right now I got a pretty negative opinion.
It's a pretty endearing setup. I'm not going to lie. But
yeah.
If I was a citizen of that kingdom, I would be scared shitless of betting my existence on whether or not this demon god vibes with a random baby. Like, those odds aren't great. Have you ever met a baby? Most babies don't chill. Most babies have zero chill. They don't vibe.
No.
So,
no.
You know.
Babies don't vibe particularly well with demon beasts
no.
for the most part. And this does prove to be a problem. You know, what are they going to do? Their king is dead. Their capital is destroyed. Everybody inside was murdered. They're the only heroes they had left, chopped to bits.
It would have been great if Clevites went and, you know, murked the king and everyone was just spontaneously just like, hey, thanks. We hated that guy.
Hell yeah. Oh my God, that we were gonna do that anyway.
Yeah,
oh,
no, we were this like fucking this close to doing it. Oh, we're gonna do so much democracy now. We're gonna form syndicalism.
Yeah, the peasants immediately storm Versailles as soon as Clevetus bounds back to their cave. Yeah, that'd be pretty good. I, you know what? That'd be a great secondary twist. I would really like that. But that unfortunately does not happen. What happens is Clevetus immediately realizes they have no idea how to fucking handle a baby. And
oh, well, sure.
All the crying is pissing them off. So they walk out of their cave, and there just happened to be a female hero in the party. So Clevetus injects a bunch of dark ichor into that female hero and puppets their dead body back to life. Quote unquote life. They are a dark ichor zombie now, and tells her to, hey, you're going to take care of this baby for me. And we're going to wander around raising this baby.
That raises so many questions. Do they have their same personality after they become an Icker zombie?
Yes. They kind of snap right back and are like, oh, shit. Why am I alive again? I got sliced up by a demon beast. Like, yeah. Sliced up. What am I doing back here? And that's when Clevetus is like, you're going to be my little puppet. Puppet. You're the puppet. And... and there's an unfortunate joke where Clevetus asks her to breastfeed the baby against her will. And my watch partners really did not like that part.
It,
which I don't blame
them. Yeah, it's not great.
Doesn't really play as funny outside of the manga.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it probably doesn't play out as funny within the manga to most people either.
You know what? I think gendering Clevetus as a dude really fucks the vibe up of that joke, you know? Like, really changes the entire tenor.
I don't think their gender is the issue with that. I think it's it's the fact that they're a mind controlled Icker zombie, and this other demon god entity has control of their body and their thoughts. I think maybe that's what makes it weird.
Not their thoughts, just the body.
Just the that makes it worse.
Just the body, just the body. Let's be clear, it's just
the body.
Only the body. Yes, they make the joke. I do think gendering Clevetus as a dude makes that joke much worse. I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
You don't have to like it. I'm just saying, I do think that makes it harsher.
Uh-huh.
But she quickly explains, hey, I cannot do that. Women cannot just do that. And Clevetus is like, oh, great. More things humans suck at. Okay, well... We're gonna have to go on a journey to find a lady who can give this baby milk. All right, let's get going. And that's kind of where we left off, because my watch partners really did not like that joke so much that we stopped watching the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the overall concept of a, you know, mysterious, non-human, like, monstrous entity just being confused about how, like, normal person things are supposed to work. I do find that charming for the most part. Again, the body thing makes it weird.
It definitely makes it weird.
It makes it weird.
It does. I know. I find the manga to be very charming. I like the manga quite a lot. I think, again, it doesn't help that this is like a 40-minute long premiere, and that chapter is, you know, that's like the first 15 pages of a manga chapter. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
I think once we really get into it, it gets very charming. I like it. You know, it is the classic buddy cop formula. this really is a reverse Midnight Run in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Midnight Run meets Three Men and a Baby.
See, I was gonna go for the Bob Hope road trip movies, but yeah, would Clevetus be the Bob Hope or shoot, what's the other guy in all those movies? My references are dated.
Yeah, give me one of the movies and maybe I can tell you.
You know, like Road to Bali, Road to Morocco, Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. Oh, you should have said the Baby It's Cold Outside guy.
Yeah. Who's the Crosby and who's the Hope in this one?
I guess Crosby would be Clevetus and Hope would be the female hero.
Can't even remember her
whose name is Alicia. Alicia.
Alicia.
Her name is Alicia. Alicia. Okay. She's the daughter of a sword master. Now she's the slave baby raiser for the dark beast of the south.
Well,
anyway, I think this is one of those things where I like the manga a lot, and I would really hope the anime would go great. I think, unfortunately, like, the animation is not good to, like, compel anyone to watch it for that alone. And if you are like my watch partners and you are immediately turned off by that off-color joke, you are not going to continue watching this show, which I do think is a shame because I do like the manga and I do think it really picks up steam, like, a lot. And it has that thing of all-powerful character being kind of wacky while being also all-powerful without the isekai baggage, because it's a fucking creature, you know?
Sure.
I much prefer it when it's a creature.
Okay. Well, you know how we feel about isekai.
You know how we feel. But that was the last show I watched. That was that. And I wanted to save Hikaruga Shindanatsu for the next session, so we started off strong.
Yeah. Well, I think so far it's a pretty strong start to the season. We got Gachi Akuta. We got See You Tomorrow at the Food Court. Those are my two that I'm looking forward to. I'm definitely going to be keeping up with those as the season goes on.
We're going to be keeping an eye on those. Letting you know how this story develops as it continues.
Now, next episode, we're going to be coming back at you with the real trash. We got Turkey, the bowling anime. We got...
Oh, boy. You're watching that?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, I'm watching that.
Oh, man.
We got There's No Freaking Way I'll Be Your Lover. Unless... we've got City, the animation, which is actually good, and I'm looking forward to watching.
Is that your poll? Are those the one what you're watching next time?
I think that I was gonna definitely watch those. I'm gonna watch City, and I'll probably also watch Introduction to Mineralogy.
Uh-huh.
Oh wait, no, that's a college course.
I'm thinking I kind of wanted my formula tends to be like two good ones and a question mark. So I think next session we are doing Hikaru. We're gonna watch City the Animation, and mm-hmm. then either the Juggalo Dark Carnival one or the Detectives These Days Are Crazy. I have to make a game time decision there. Either Necronomico, No Cosmic Horror Show, or Detectives These Days Are Crazy. I think I'm going to have to make a decision there.
Necronomico is one. It was also on my list. And, of course, you know, how could we pass up this season without talking about Rent-A-Girlfriend Season 4?
Of course.
Of course.
Well, you know, I am going to get to New Panty and Stocky at some point. But after that off-color joke in Clevitas, now I'm worried. I'm a little worried.
Oh.
And I kicked everything off with Takapi's Original Sin too, which I've lost a lot of fucking points with that.
Yeah, you lost a lot of friends over that one.
Unlike Clevitas though, I will fucking fight for Takapi. I love Takapi.
Including me. We're not cool anymore after that one.
Well, I'll take my lumps because unfortunately I like Takapi. I'll fight you for it.
Okay. That's the other one that maybe I'll talk next time, maybe the episode after. But I was also looking forward to Bad Girl and Rascal Does Not Dream of Santa Claus Senpai.
Oh, no. You're going to do Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do Santa. You do that one. And then we can compare Santa Claus.
Listen, we're moving away from the witch meta this season. It's all about Santa meta now.
We're gonna have to wait for Santa a little while. Yeah. We've got more witches in this season than we do Santas.
That's true.
Yeah.
Witch season still going on. Season of the Witch, baby. Yep.
And I kind of count, even though they're angels, I count Panty and Stocking as witches. I think they're witches. They count.
Sure. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Is that, that's what we got for you fine folks today. As always, go, please do the stuff. Comment, like, subscribe, listen, download.
Watch the good shows and not the bad shows, unless you're trying to pump our fantasy league numbers. In that case, fine.
Yeah.
Go for it.
It's okay in that context. Okay.
By the way, just we'll talk about it next week, but first week, not bad. Not bad.
Better than not last bad. Season. I can feel the blood flowing back into this withered husk after last season.
I just mean in our fantasy league, but yes, also also the season at large. I will say I made that last second decision to throw flagrant flowers. Fragrant flower blooms with dignity, and that was the right call. That was the right call. That one is shooting up.
Oh, yeah? All right.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to watch it, because I did read chapter one of this, and it did seem very generic, but I think that is why it's popular.
Oh, you know I'm going to watch it.
Hey, give it a shot. Maybe you'll like it. Pump our numbers.
Handsome, beautiful, tall listeners, thank you once again for sitting with us here as we talk at you, around you, but never to you. Until next time, anime season summer 2025. Bye.
I actually would have liked in Andor if they had included the Emperor. He's like out there being like crypto fascist. He's like talking mad shit about Wookiees or whatever. He's like, I think it should be legal to eat Wookiees. I mean, they won't even speak basic. Like, yeah, sure. They have sort of an intelligence. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to establish a centuries long eugenics program that's going to turn them into teddy bears.